Hey everybody, welcome to the finale of this season of Freaks of American Horror Story. We're here to talk about season 4, episode 13, Curtain Call, which is the sequel to Showstopper. So they stopped the show and then they called for a curtain. I'm joined again by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey team, how's it going?
Hi.
Hey. Wow. I hate this episode. I'll just put this up front. This one really made me mad. There's like an unbelievable amount of drawing the rest of the owl, I feel like, in this episode. There's a character who they just are like, okay, assume they were turbo successful inexplicably for 4 years. Like, okay, yeah, why not? Mm-hmm. Should we get into it? There's
so much in this finale. The thing is, and what's really weird is like it is really weirdly paced. I don't know how to describe it if you're not watching along with us, but like the first, I would say roughly 20 to 25 minutes of this episode feels like it's going at such an insanely breakneck pace that you're like, oh my God, so much stuff is going to happen in this episode. Good Lord. And then all of it happens and then it kind of just hits like a fever pitch at like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it's like, now nothing will happen that you will care about for the rest of the episode.
But more so than
the episode's
usual.
Nothing. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And I'm like, this, so, if you could spread it out a little bit, this is the finale. Like, maybe, like, instead of making it, like, feverishly fast-paced at the beginning where it's, like, you feel like that one, like, gif of SpongeBob or Mr. Krabs from SpongeBob, like, with the room spinning around him, like, maybe just pace it out a bit. Feel it out a little bit.
No, we got places to go and people to see, okay? So it's time to, like, you know, we got to get a move on you. You're a busy person. You can't have all leisurely horror, you know? You got an appointment to get to. You're not going to get that promotion with slow-paced horror, ladies, you know? Come on. Hustle culture. Yeah. Let's do it.
And so y'all had mentioned a couple times that this show loves to do the second to last episode is the actual finale, and then they do like an epilogue sequence for the final episode.
Yes.
This is a weird case where they definitely did already do the finale, right? Like, including Stanley being duck mode.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, that was the, they did the finale, but then like something happened afterwards, and this episode feels like they had like finished the whole thing and shipped the season out like as only 12 episodes. And then people like hated the ending so much that they're like, fine, we'll put out a DLC episode. So just like way too much shit happens that like no one really wants that isn't really relevant to anything. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, we never ended Dandy's story. Let's do that.
You know, the third Lord of the Rings when it like can't end. You know what I mean? Where it's just like, okay, stop, I got it, everyone's happy. But at least that's like, everyone's happy. This is just like, here's more shit we thought of. And it's like, I don't need any more, we're done. No, here's a little more, just what the hell? And
it's like, that's just like the enough. Thing is like, even with like, well, Dandy didn't get like a satisfactory ending. Like, I mean, the end of the last episode could have been Dandy's end, frankly. Like,
yeah.
Oh, Dandy bought the freak show. Like, okay. Like,
yeah,
just figure
it
out.
Yeah.
What you, yeah, you, that's frankly, that's more satisfying than what ends up happening.
Yeah.
Or like handle it in season 12. Like, I know you love to do, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, just leave it. Like, what the hell? You brought back Twisty in a comic book, for God's sakes, at least, you know, whatever. But they're like, no, closure in all things.
I was going to say, it's funny, by being horror, they are like one of the few genres where they do have that privilege, that availability to just be like leaving you with a hanging bad thing happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Dandy bought the circus. That's not fucking good. He's a bad man who kills people and like sometimes those puppet stuff. Like, that's fine. You can just leave it like that. And then it's like there's that creeping sense of dread as the series ends that like even in the end, evil money will prevail. It sucks.
That can even be like a poignant point that it makes is like, oh, we've come come full circle. Like, the circus started in the hands of someone who was morally bankrupt, Elsa, and then it's traded hands between several other morally bankrupt people, Belle and Chester. And now, full circle, all those other people are dead, and the one person who's left, or not dead, they're just gone. The one person who's left is the guy who, at the beginning of the season, really wanted to be in the freak show, but he had a lot of other shit going on behind the scenes where he was even more evil. And then at the end, he's the one who ends up with it. He gets his wish and he comes out on top. Like, that could even be like a poignant like thing is like, yeah, sometimes evil wins. Like, that could be a thing they do, but they're like, no. We're just going to have a lot happen with Dandy. A lot of the same and a lot of new also happening with Dandy in the next 25 minutes.
Shall we get into the episode? Because there is an immediate... So that is what the last episode led off with, is Dandy buying the freak show. And there's nothing like inherently bad about that, to be clear. Like, Chester did it and everyone was like, oh, sick puppet guy, but like, Dandy did it and everyone, just to lead into the episode, everyone hates Dandy and everyone hates that Dandy did this. And not because Jimmy went to them and said, oh, that was the guy who was the other murderer with the clown. Like, that's not, that would be like a totally justifiable reason. If Jimmy showed up and went, I told them what you are, that would already pave over so many of the problems with this.
Also, the next 25 minutes of the show wouldn't happen because they would not entertain Dandy being the person who owns the freak show. And some stuff wouldn't happen if Jimmy had simply, I don't know, relayed the information about him being the killer to anybody in a sober state of mind. It feels like this whole episode could maybe not exist if Jimmy had simply done that. It's crazy how he never told anybody that while he was sober, except for Maggie, who got cut in half by a dude who was in the show for one and a half episodes. Also, no one follows up on Chester just disappearing. He just leaves. And they're like, okay, I guess that guy doesn't own the circus anymore. Or Stanley. Stanley's just duck mode, and like, he's not in this episode, so we have no idea what happens to Stanley. He's just, I guess, in a box somewhere, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think it's, yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Because, yeah, they're okay with some, like, hanging kind of things, but, you know, yeah, for whatever reason, it's like, no, now we have to live with knowing the rest of this stupid whatever, so.
Yeah.
So we open up, and they are hanging up a poster, I guess, out on the street nearby, advertising the newest freak, Dandy, who is gonna be singing musical numbers because he is no longer decided. He doesn't want to be an actor anymore. He doesn't want to be a serial killer anymore. He doesn't want to be a puppet guy anymore. He doesn't want to be a debutante son who manipulates the police anymore. He wants to sing because apparently when you get too close to this place for too long, you just start wanting to sing. It's like an actual, like, it's like some kind of horrible ley line under the freak show.
That's the real horror of the freak show, is if you spend any time here, it makes you, the only thing keeping Chester from starting to sing is the puppet. The puppet was siphoning off the energy so that he have to sing.
If you think about it, Dandy, you know, wanting to be in the freak show, and I guess, I know he wasn't at the time, is actually, like, more, like, a performer than Twisty was when Edward Mordrake came. You know what I mean? Like, he wanted to be in the show, and more, you know, Twisty's just a clown, but there's no justice in the show, so that doesn't matter. Anyway.
Yeah. But even with as fast-paced as the beginning of this episode is, they still dedicate, like, a whole 3 minutes to this opening sequence of them kind of just lackadaisically hanging up this giant poster of Dandy, kind of talking amongst themselves. It's Amazon Eve, Paul, the Illustrated Seal, Barbara, who they call, like, I'm a Wiggles or whatever, and Penny. Penny, who has decided to keep the weird, like, bald guy from The Office haircut for some reason.
Yeah.
And she just has that. Also, the fat suit on Barbara is the worst it's maybe been the whole season, which is really saying something. It literally looks like they have the actress sitting in a prop next to Penny, who looks like she's 9 feet tall because they have Barbara so low to the... It's insane. It is an insane visual. Yeah. And they're just kind of
center
there.
Of mass is crazy on this whole setup.
And her head is so tiny compared to the rest of the build. And her arms and her head are so tiny compared to everything else.
That's really the big thing to me is like you see her arms come out of the dress and it's like just like half her forearms. it's like clearly like way too much. They like put her in such a bad suit that she kind of looks like Kingpin in Into the Spider-Verse.
I was going to say she looks like the blueberry girl from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Like the original one. Like it looks about that realistic. It's about the same shape that they make. But yeah, they're just like watching Eve put up the giant poster of Dandy. And Barbara makes a statement about like, yeah, Dandy's been like real weird to me. He's always trying to spoon feed me and making like airplane noises. And I'm like, well, that's what Jimmy was doing. Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
that's what Jimmy was doing. Okay, yeah. I'm glad because that she said that and I'm immediately like, you were like into that a while ago, and I agree it was weird then too.
Yeah, but he's making it seem like Dandy's really weird for doing it. I'm like, yeah. I think maybe he was just doing it because he saw other people doing it, because he did come in to the circus when Jimmy was doing
that.
He's probably like, oh well, this is what you have to do if you've got a quote-unquote fat lady performer on your team. You have to feed them and make airplane noises. Yeah, and she's like, he's really weird. I'm like, okay, well, I think maybe he was just doing what he saw other people doing. Either that or the American Horror Story writers are like, if you see an overweight person, you are obligated to feed them and make airplane noises. That's just how it is.
I was going to say, this seems like a great way to get beat up by a fat kid in high school. This seems like an A-plus way to like request an ass beating from someone larger than you.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And like, Penny and Paul are like, okay, well, that's a little weird. And Penny's like, I want everybody to remember this conversation. Penny is like, oh, man, I don't really like this Dandy guy. Can we, like, join a different freak show? Like, it kind of sucks here now. All the people we, like, know are gone, and this sucks. And Paul's like, no, there's no other freak shows. There's no other circuses. It's this one or none of them. And we, like, this sucks, but we just got to deal with it. Like, life's giving us lemons, but we're going to make lemonade.
Also, their justification for hating Dandy is, like, so paper thin here. They're like, yeah, he wants us to, like, change our act and, like, learn new stuff. What a piece of shit. It's like, okay, well, that doesn't really land. This is, again, the problem of if only someone had seen him be a serial killer and was like, hey, that guy's a serial killer. That's like, then you wouldn't have to justify any of this shit.
This is such a weird reoccurring thing that they've done over the whole season of like them being the writers, fundamentally not understanding that like, it's only scary if the quote-unquote good guys don't know the quote-unquote bad guy is a bad guy, if, like, that ends up being a problem. But, like, if you have the characters interacting with him in a way that is completely neutral, it's not malicious. If he's just being a guy, he's not being a serial killer, and they don't know he's a serial killer, so there's no threat, if that makes any sense. So it's not, like, scary.
You know what, too? Very shortly, they're going to have, like, more serious complaints about Dandy, so it's almost like, why don't you just, like, wait a minute before this conversation, and then you can have, like, things that are not, like, I don't want to, like, learn a new thing, even though I did for Chester. You know what I mean? Like, what, like, Because then you could have just been like, oh, yeah, this thing we're about to show you, this is why I want to leave the freak show. And then it's like, then you can have it. I don't know. But whatever.
So we cut to Dandy in the tent. And Dandy is yelling at the spotlight person again, which was leading me to believe maybe the problem is the spotlight person.
Right? Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, you give someone the benefit of the doubt. But when the one linking part of all five interactions is you failing as a spotlight person, maybe there is a deficiency here. Dandy also, like, is very clear about what he's saying, and, like, it's supposed to be played as, like, oh, this goofy little fancy boy, but it's like, no, like, if you're doing a series of musical numbers, you're allowed to have, like, different colors of lighting for different songs. That's, like, normal. Like, performers have, like, fireworks that go off while they're performing, and they'd be pretty fucking mad if you just set the fireworks off at the wrong goddamn time. Like, yeah, as a performer, you're allowed to be like, yeah, it's a show. The color of the light has to be right because that's part of the show. Like, this is one of the most reasonable complaints in all of American Horror Story. Is come on, man, it's supposed to be the blue light during this part and the red light during this part. Like, that's very addressable. You could put that in the set list, but they're like, Dandy's being so unreasonable here. Whereas, like, when Elsa was complaining about it, she's like, the light isn't making me look good enough.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, or like, you're doing it too slow, you stupid idiot. Like, he's not even being, like, rude. He's just like, no, I told you, the blue light's for the sad song and the pink light's for this song. Like, he's just trying to, like, enforce the set list, really.
Set list! Yeah!
Yeah.
Like, everything that they show us, it's so funny because unless it's somebody that he's actively serial killing or, like, might serial kill, like, every interaction Dandy has with a person is, like, okay, he's a little, like, obnoxious, but, like, yeah, he's not wrong. Like, he's,
like, a
he's
little
fine.
Annoying.
Yeah.
He could be better at delivering the information, but we all could, I think.
Yeah.
Dandy sucks, but this is not why. Yeah. They're banking on us. Like, isn't, like, this guy terrible?
Like, yeah. Ooh. Like, they're trying to give us, like, a gluttony of evidence of why we should hate Dandy. I'm like, no, remember, we know he's a serial killer. You don't gotta convince us, the
look
audience.
At Mr.
We know.
Look at Mr. Burns here wanting his show to look good, you know? Yeah. But, yeah. Like,
like, oh, the part where he killed a random lady and sewed her together with his mom? We're going to forget that part. But he was rude to the light operator. So, you know, the key
a
grip.
Villain.
Gave him a lot of shit. What a nasty man. The grip, no! So, Paul and the others, they walk in and Dandy's, you know, in the middle of performing. Then Dandy goes, hey, so how many tickets have you sold? Which seems like an impossible question for the kind of show they put on, which is, like, I guess a couple of nights every week, whoever shows up and buys tickets at the box office.
Did they have Ticketmaster in 1952?
Yeah, what fucking pre-sales are you doing for the, like, three times a week freak show, right? Like, that's not a pre-sale thing. Like, pre-sales are like, oh, yeah, we're in this town for two nights, and then we're moving to another part of the country. Like, that's when you freeze on. Either way, Dandy doesn't understand how tickets work, but neither does anyone else. So he's like, hey, so how many of you sold yet? They're like, oh, we just put the poster up, so none yet. Which, did they not start selling tickets until they put the Dandy poster? Is the tickets just for the Dandy show? Because it feels like they'd be selling tickets all the time if they were always there.
Yeah.
The poster is also on the side of, like, a kind of abandoned highway. So, like, doesn't have immediate turnaround in 1952, you know? Like, they can't just, like, whip out their phone and purchase a ticket after seeing the poster randomly on the side of the road. Yeah. No, Dandy doesn't get it, and he gets, like, kind of mad. Like, this is just Dandy being stupid. This is just Dandy being dumb.
Happy Valentine's Day, honey. Oh, my God, you got me tickets to some old German lady singing in a freak show. It's what I always wanted. Thank you. Well, they was going to get sold out, you know.
And they said chivalry is dead. And so this is the point where they decide, they being the writers, that this is what they're going to do to make the freaks hate Dandy. And so, like,
he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
and got Jimmy falsely implicated, thrown in prison, which led to him getting his fucking hands cut off. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, also, to a little bit jump ahead, what some of you may be thinking is like, oh, well, Jimmy is there, so Jimmy's going to rat him out. He's going to walk in and be like, that's the serial killer. And they're going to be like, oh, shit, and start beating him up. No, that would make sense if that is what happened, but it's not. Because Jimmy will walk in later this evening, but not right now. No, what happens is Dandy's like, oh, we're not selling tickets. Oh, that sucks. Well, this is a freak show, and the town has already seen you guys. So they probably aren't gonna come back to see you again, which is fair.
He kind of makes a good point. Yeah, it's one of those things, too. As soon as Jimmy became, a hero of the city, that'd be going to, buy tickets to, see my neighbor down the street. I don't think I would do that. It's just oh, yeah, that's Jimmy. He, works at the mill.
Well, it's even if Sully, the guy who landed the plane in the Hudson River, had, a one-man show, you'd maybe see it twice out of gratitude, but after that, you're pushing it, Sully, come on, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing, and, Dandy, kind of says, the nature of a freak show is, oh, they come to see the freaks and the weird acts that we do for whatever reason, but once they've seen them, they've seen them, so you've done it. So, we should change it up. We'll change up your looks. He's a lot meaner than I'm being, but, he's like, we're gonna change how you look. We're gonna, maybe do a new act. We're gonna do... And, he's just, listing things that he's kind of mean about, but, he is making sense, and he's right, and he should say it.
But then the freaks he has correctly identified the problem and incorrectly identified a series of solutions.
Yes.
Because the solution is you now either are a traveling act, which is way more sensible for a freak show, or you go to a place that's a hub of civilization that is often, frequented by tourists so that you constantly have a new influx of eyeballs, right? Those are the two correct solutions. He's just Paul, we're going to have to give you tiny feet.
Yeah. Or we're going to have to teach you how to juggle with the hands you don't have. Legless Susie, we're teaching you how to ride a bike.
Ass-kicking contest.
Yeah.
You're on point.
Yeah, he's not right, but he's not wrong. But either way, he's from the perspective of someone who wants the freak show to be successful, he is in the right here. But the freaks are all right, buddy, fuck you. This is it. This is the last straw. We can't handle this anymore.
I feel too, Paul does a complete 180, even just in this episode, where at first he's very, Smithersy, the end of the last one, and yes, sir, he has the money, everybody, we have to do it, to, you know what, we're not in charge, you're not in charge here, old man, or whatever, which feels okay, I think you were just saying something else.
But. I'm slowly but surely coming around on Elsa throwing a knife at Paul, is the thing I'm learning here. I'm slowly being maybe Paul sucks, maybe Paul's a bad employee, maybe we should throw a knife at Paul.
Yeah, his beautiful face. Imagine my beautiful face. Yeah. Yeah. And
imagine with a knife in it, stupid.
We've been talking about this for a minute, but I cannot overstate that this turn on Dandy takes place over 25 seconds. Because 25 seconds ago, Paul was like, this is the only freak show that exists. We have to just deal with Dandy and we're going to make the best out of it.
I think he literally says that kid has a lot of money, and while if life gives you lemons, we got to juice that lemon. We're going to juice this kid. And then, he's like, you know what? Maybe we should change up the axe a little bit. And then Amazon Eve just fucking punches him in the face. And they're just like, you're the worst at running a freak show ever, you dumb bitch. And then Paul spits on him. And it's well, all right. He's like, I quit.
Yeah. And he's Dandy's not any worse than Elsa was being about the people and their acts. Elsa was so strict about what everybody was allowed to wear and do.
Elsa had one of them as a gift to herself, you know? hey, you know what? You're just going to live with me and warm me up if I need it, okay? And you're in my show, and I guess I'm paying you? That part's not clear. But
and allegedly, I'm very jealous of you, and if you get too much attention, I'm going to let you die or whatever, according to that one flashback.
Also, it's so wild, too, because Elsa, had similar ideas, but was
wildly unstable, and I can't believe I'm saying this character was less stable in, like, you know, execution and what her ideas were than the serial killer, than the actual crazy. But yeah, yeah, no, like, Dandy would be more likely to run a business correctly. I think I'd give it to the serial killer on this one.
He's more likely to run it correctly, and he's dumb as rocks. He didn't even understand how ticket sales work, and he still is better at this than Elsa was, who has done this for, like, what, like, 40 years? Remember when the big crux of, like, episode 2 was when Del and Desiree showed up, and Del was like, hey, there's a curfew. We should do afternoon shows. And Elsa was like, fuck you.
Like, right.
Maybe Elsa was just really bad at running the freak show. Yeah, they beat the shit out of Dandy and they, like, spit on him and tell him that he's boring. And that's, like, the worst thing you can call him, I guess. And he gets really upset and sad about it. All of this takes place over roughly, like, a minute and a half, including the first part that I said. So we got the culmination of the last episode, the penultimate episode, was Dandy finally has the freak show. And Dandy has the freak show for roughly 90 seconds of airtime before...
Right.
Yep.
Before it's over. Which feels... Chester had it for an episode and a half. That doesn't feel fair to Dandy, for what it's worth. Dandy only got it for, like, 90 seconds of screen time. This feels sad for him. But now the opening sequence plays. You'd think that, like, since they stormed out and said that they're quitting, that they would, like, leave. But, like, they don't. No.
They're just hanging out.
Yeah, they're just hanging out.
Just hanging out.
I wonder if that'll be a problem. I guess we'll see after this next set of scenes. Because
Elsa's still in the show. It's time for Elsa. And hey, everybody, you know how, like, a huge part of the show was that Elsa wasn't actually that much of a starlet and was, like, kind of delusional and, like, was being taken advantage of, obviously, because she, like, clearly did not have the juice it was.
Right.
She had the juice all along. It was off camera, but trust, bro, trust. She had the juice.
And real legs, evidently. Because, like, every scene we see her in for the rest of this episode, she just has regular ass legs that they do not bother to cover up even a little bit. They're like,
no, yeah. It's...
Oh, yeah, we're not doing prosthetics for this last episode. Fuck you. Fuck you. She has real legs. Who gives a shit? And, like, they're prominent, too. They're, like, in a lot of the shots where it's just like,
yeah,
those are just regular meat legs.
Could have just had her wear pants.
Yeah.
And that would have solved a lot of this, I think.
Just, like, wearing pantyhose could have also eliminated most of these problems. But alas, her raw gams are just out there in a lot of the scenes that she's in.
Yeah. So she's in a Hollywood office because even though Stanley wasn't real and is now currently a duck man, Elsa did go to Hollywood. She's there and she apparently is, like, in one of the movie company lobbies and has just been showing up every day to the lobby, which, like, this is how my parents think you get a job, is like, yeah, just go knock on the doors every day. It's like, that has not been how job searching has worked for half of a century. I'm sorry, Grandpa. I'm sorry, that shit don't work.
Especially movies. Let me tell you, as someone who's, like, been to studios many, many times, they hate it if you just show up and are like, I'm an actor. Oh, yeah. Can I be in your thing? They hate it. That is the quickest way to get blacklisted from every production company that exists, period. That's why agents exist. They hate it. Yeah. Even back in the day, you could not just walk into a movie studio and be like, can I have a job as an actor? They would do what happens in this scene, actually, which is the receptionist being like, hey, ma'am, this is not how this works. And Elsa being like, well, I'm going to sit in the lobby and wait for the CEO to come out. And the receptionist is like, that's not how this works, but okay. And then it's nighttime. And she's like, hey, how come the CEO hasn't come out? And the receptionist is like, oh, he left out the back to avoid you because that's not how this works. And you are being a freak about it. You've been here every day for like the last 4 weeks. It's weird that you're doing this.
It doesn't. Yeah. We're doing this specifically so you won't come back. Don't come back.
And then the receptionist says something, which is another, a thing that has come up several times throughout the season of, hey, if my, just a word of advice from receptionist to crazy lady who's waiting for a CEO, maybe if you didn't be an exact copy of Marlena, who's already very famous, you might get a job.
Hey, did you know you're based on a character? You're based on a real person. Did you consider not being that? Did you consider being your own person? No? Okay. That's the writer's fault for sure. But.
Yeah. Have you considered not being an Elvis impersonator? We already have like an Elvis. Like maybe don't be an Elvis impersonator. But Elsa takes this very hard.
Yeah. Sorry, Ricky Mouse, no copyright. You're not going to believe this.
Elsa hates it because remember, Marlena is like her sworn nemesis or whatever, and slaps the shit out of the receptionist. And the security guard's like, whoa, 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 hey, 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 you can't do that. And wrestles Elsa to the ground, which is the right thing to do. She just assaulted an employee.
Security's job.
So she gets wrestled to the ground, as she should. And then a new guy comes out in a suit, and he's like, hey, let that lady go. And I'm like, you don't know why she's being wrestled to the ground.
Yeah,
and
right?
Turns out it's a good reason. She's being wrestled to the ground because she assaulted someone. It's not like she's, I don't know.
Yeah.
she's not in the
this
right
is, here. This is also wild for the secretary to not just turn to him and be like, oh, she punched me. Like, that would
be...
Like, that would be your first reaction if someone's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You'd be like, she punched me. Like that would be, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, keep her on the ground.
You'd actually be like, oh, one of those. I'm sorry. Let me help, like, wrestle her if you need it, you know? Like,
let me get a punch in.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if the writers know this. I assume they do since they work
How can they
in
not,
literal,
right?
like, production, but, like, the reason security guards are there in that area is because crazy fans and obsessed stalkers and shit show up, or people who are mad at stuff that's been in movies show up and like make threats or like stalk talent. Like, that's why there's security at production companies.
I can forgive a lot of things. You know how TV shows sometimes get computers wrong, or there's no way to research how a circus or a freak show work in real life.
Mm-hmm.
But you are writers in this industry. Like, you absolutely know how this works. Like, there is no, like what the hell happened here?
It's one thing to not do your research. It's another thing to not do your research when your research involves going downstairs. And that's it. And then you're done.
I think probably what happened is just they've never had somebody like waiting for them outside, like a crazed fan. And they're like, wouldn't that be cool? Would that be cool or what? Like, that I would be the hero. I would come downstairs and be like, let that person go. and so they wrote this guy into the show. This guy whose name is Michael Beckenbaumer or some shit, but he goes by Michael Beck. And he's played by Neil Patrick Harris's husband. I'm sure that's just a coincidence. I'm sure the addition of this character that will like add nothing to the show, but gets a full name and a weird plot thread. I'm sure it's just a coincidence that that's Neil Patrick Harris's husband.
Oh yeah, by the way, new character in the finale. I fucking hate it here.
And not just like new character in the finale that's in this scene. He is regrettably in like the whole last half.
Oh, he's
of the
in
episode.
The rest of the episode. Yeah. My man is a crux from here on out.
Apparently like Hollywood's afraid he's a communist or whatever because of his name.
Yeah, like basically Elsa like gets picked up and he can, you know, pick up on her accent and goes like, yeah, my name's Beckenbauer, but I changed it to Beck because they don't really love Germans in Hollywood right now. And she's like, oh, do they think you're a Nazi? And he's like, worse, they think I'm a communist, which kind of makes her giggle a little bit. It's like a little bit of camaraderie. It's a little bit of fucking these people, huh? You know, like it's a little bit of a moment of it. It doesn't make a lot of sense, though, all told.
Yeah, and it's kind of a weird brief reprieve for what the fuck's about to happen back at the freak show. So back at the freak show, Dandy is putting on lipstick, which is something the show has decided everyone does. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At right before you go crazy and kill everyone, you got to put on your lipstick. You got to be ready to slay before you slay. Chester did it. That's what I'm saying. Everybody does it.
If a man puts on lipstick, it means he's going to do a bunch of murders. Yeah, that's obviously. Yeah.
Oh, that's not great in its implications, huh?
No, I even think that there's a movie or two that they stole it from which don't have great implications with that. Yeah, you know.
Oh, brother.
Lotion on its skin or whatever. Yeah, that's what Danny's saying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I see.
They've seen that movie too.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a great thing to like kind of be like, inherently this is wrong. Like that. Which, you're right, that's kind of how they frame it every time, is just like, a man's putting on makeup, he's about to go do something horrible.
Yeah, what's more freakish than this, right?
They're like, we know three things for certain. One, weed makes you evil. Two, if you're drunk, you have no control over anything that you say or do, and you will hallucinate ghosts. And three, if a man puts on lipstick, he's gonna do a murder. Those are the three indisputable truths of this universe.
Man do woman thing. No! Like, yeah.
Everyone wants babies at all times, but having a baby is the worst thing.
Yeah. Do not want babies, or they will die if they do not have babies.
No, yeah, no one is neutral towards babe. No one. There, American Horror Story lives in a world where on Hinge, where you set like open to kids, not open. They just took out the part that's like open to kids, and it's either like yes, children, or never children. That's it.
Show me a baby, and I'll throw up. Or if you don't give me a baby, I will kill everybody in the room.
I will say that does exist on Hinge. There's definitely those still. you still get some of those. Woohoo!
Yeah. So Dandy has put on his lipstick and his eyeliner. Can I just say, kind of a good look for Dandy. This kind of should have been his look the whole time, I think, because it's not like red lipstick. It's like neutral. Right. He has neutral lipstick for some reason.
And like a light bit of eyeshadow that's not like horrible, got a little bit of liner or whatever. It's especially coming off of Chester being forced to go like doll mode.
Right.
Yeah. Chester looking like a full on mime. Yeah.
Now, I think it's fine for us to make jokes about how Stanley was overcomplicating killing all the freaks, but it's a little weird for the show to be like, Stanley was really overcomplicating it, because now Dandy just takes a gun and just starts killing all the freaks, and it goes really well for him somehow.
It goes super smoothly. Also, what is very odd, like, I kept making jokes about it in the group chat, but, like, truly, he just, like, we'll go over the fine details in just a second, but the TLDR of it is he just does exactly what Ethel says she was going to do, of just going around the freak show with one revolver and just, like, putting a bullet in every single person.
Yeah. It is 1 6-shot revolver, and this fella gets at least 13 rounds out of it, which is, like, pretty awesome.
Like, when Ethel said she was going to do it, I made a joke of, like, damn, cool revolver that you're just going to do that with. Just one revolver, no extra bullets. That's pretty impressive. And, allegedly, two of the bullets in that gun were one for her and one for Elsa. So, like, she was even adding extra people in. But yeah, no,
she was getting an achievement.
You had to do the one where you kill two people with one bullet.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like a couple times. This is rough. I need a guy.
Gotta find a new freak show. I messed up my streak already. but yeah, so that's what happens. But like going back to like the finer details of it. So I'm not one to do this frequently, but I will give American Horror Story credit, and I really wish this sequence was in a different context, because if this was like a group of people we didn't know and this was just like a thing Dandy had done in the past and we were seeing it, or if this was like he had tried at another freak show and we were seeing like this is how it ended, I actually think this is quite, for the most part until like the end of it, is quite an effective sequence of horror. Sure. Because he's humming.
He's very casual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, humming, very right? American Psycho. He's humming the Nutcracker, a song from the Nutcracker.
That's right.
And he just like straight executes everybody. Like Paul walks in and is like, hey, what are you? And before he can even finish talking, like he just caps him in the head. It's very like, not shocking, but it's very quick. Like the timing is very like off. It throws you off because it happens so quickly. There's no buildup or anything.
Yeah, like it literally is like Dandy, like quietly kind of doing makeup and just being like, hey, bang, bang, and just like taking people out like left and right, like really quickly. And then we start having folks like realize what's going on and like kind of trying to scatter. But like Dandy is very clear about making sure to get the people who are more equipped to run out of the way first versus the people who are less equipped to run, which is like kind of fucked up. But it's, yeah, it's effective. It works.
You know what, too? Paul, if he could, would probably be kicking himself seeing this, too. You know, just be like, oh, this guy, I did all this stuff and he just gets them in one. Oh, stupid me. I better quack loud so he ends my misery. But he doesn't We don't ever see that. So.
And there's a few shots during the sequence. There's some that are just like whatever, but there's a few shots that are like genuinely kind of like I was feeling like a little bit of anxiety. I'm like, oh wow, this is actually like kind of good. After Paul gets shot, the first one, Penny hears it and like runs to check on Paul, but she catches and sees what happens, and she hides behind like some hung up laundry. That's on like a clothesline, which this kind of might be a little bit stolen from Halloween, but they still did kind of a good job of it. And she's hiding behind it, and she hears him humming the Nutcracker song, and he gets close, and he kind of like stops in front of the sheet that she's hiding behind, and it's a real tight shot on her face, and his feet are facing away from her, and you can only see his feet, and it's that like kind of cliche thing of like, oh, is he going to stop and check behind it, or is he going to keep walking? Is she going to be safe? But then it pans up, and he's just straight up looking over the top of
it. It's just, it's below eye level. Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, he's just been watching her this whole time. And then it cuts to like the other side of the sheet, and you just see like, you hear the gunshot and like blood splatter. And I was like, damn, that's like an actually pretty effective like shot, an effective scene. Imagine if we had seen him killing 9 women in a Tupperware party. How interesting that could have been. Instead of
show
what we
don't
got.
Tell. That's so weird.
Yeah. And then like there's some other ones where he's just like, he just chases down a person, or he doesn't even chase them, he just like kind of shoots them as he sees them. But like
there is one highlight that I really liked of this that I think also like kind of added to its effectiveness at just like casualness and horror in that, which is as he's like chasing down Susie, he like bonks his head on like just a tent pole as he's like clearly focused walking her down, just hits his head, and then just kind of has a moment of like stupid, and then just keeps going, and that again, like that's like horrifying that he's just kind of like, oh, I got two in the zone, sorry team. That's bad.
Right. I think like that's the thing that's so maddening about this show sometimes too, is that it's not like all garbage. Like there's sometimes good bones, like it's potential, but it gets squandered, I think, by the writing usually, you know?
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think specifically like Dandy, for me, this specific season, Dandy is by far the biggest wasted potential because they tried to make him so off the wall.
Yeah.
When if they would have just kind of like shaved him down and kept him very bare bones of like this very Patrick Bateman, like a high society guy who's got like a thing underneath where he's just barely keeping it together. Like, he would have, I think, been, and like, Finn Wittrock does a really good job of playing him in these scenes. And I'm like, he's a really wasted character here because they made him be too over the top crazy in a not good way. And like in a silly way that kind of diminished how terrifying he was.
Also, just like the way characters respond to him as a piece of stimuli is like nonsensical. So there's so many times where you're just kind of like, am I supposed to be afraid of him? Because everyone just seems confused more than anything. Like there's a bunch of times where they're like, they're like mad at him, but they're not like afraid of him, right? Like when the freaks just start like beating him up, they're not like, okay, we better make sure we finish this guy off because he could be a real problem down the line. Like they find him pathetic. Like it doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing is, like, he's played a lot through the season as a comic relief. And, like, he's not. And that's what makes him scary is that, like, he should be, in theory, a very silly character. Like, he's obviously quite over the top and very silly and, like, dumb and right. disconnected. But, like, that's the, like, the rub of it is that he's not. He's not silly. He is very threatening and is a problem who can cause a lot of grievous harm to people. That's why I think this sequence, if this was not just watching all of the characters that we've come to know over the season, assuming we gave a shit about them, which unfortunately we don't, if I had been invested in these characters, I'd be pissed as hell at this sequence of, like, all of them just getting murdered Red Wedding style. This would be really frustrating because sequences like this, unless they are thrown in the middle of a season for, like, shock value, as an ending, garbage. That's why everybody hated the end of Game of Thrones, is it's like, oh, well, that felt
legit,
like shit.
If you, like, give a shit about Barbara, bad news. Because, like, Dandy just, like, walks in and is just kind of like, yeah, you're not a character anymore. Yeah, you're not a character anymore. Yeah. Okay, you're done. Which is kind of what happens. He just walks around shooting everybody in the head. Eventually goes into Desiree's, caravan. And she's just, like, hiding in the back behind a couch, which, like, yeah, reasonable. Or, like, in a closet at this point. So she's hidden somewhere. Dandy storms in, kind of starts looking around, and then Eve just, like, windmill slams in there, starts beating the shit out of Dandy, like, really properly beating, really Amazon Eve for, like, top one character this season as far as, like, getting shit done.
She throws him out of the trailer. She gets as far as to physically throw him out of the trailer with an axe in her hand. Like,
right.
She makes a lot of progress in this, is what I'm getting at. Is she beats the ever-loving fuck out of him, and he drops his gun, and then she throws him out of Desiree's trailer, only for him to magically
then he does
have
his
it.
Gun.
Yeah, only for him to magically have it at the end and just shoot her twice. That's two more bullets that he puts in someone. He double taps another guy too. He has a lot of bullets in this magic gun. I want to say, I don't know if we'll actually get to the point where it becomes relevant, but I want to at least plant the seed in people's head. He spends a lot of this sequence, including the lead up to Eve, like, jumping him, very, very adamantly searching for Desiree in Desiree's trailer specifically. And then after he kills Eve, he goes back into Desiree's trailer as though he knows for a fact she's in there.
Who's there?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and who he's looking for and which member of the team. Yeah, like, he's aware of everybody at the freak show. You would not be able to, let's say, surprise him by showing up later in a different hat. He would be like, oh, it's you.
Like, oh, the lady I looked for really, really, really hard and never found. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's a good,
So he really just tears up Desiree's trailer looking for her. But, like, he looks in all of the places she wouldn't be, like, between the mattresses and between some clothes in the closet, when in reality she's just
behind a couch.
Yeah, she's behind the back of a fold-out couch bed thing. Doesn't look behind that, and that's where she is, so she's fine. She also doesn't have her gun, I guess. Remember her gun from the face-off with Dell? She just doesn't have that either. Feels like that probably would have solved a lot of problems. She doesn't have
it. Stanley, too, everybody's losing their guns except Dandy.
Yeah. Oh, that thing is glued to him, evidently. Eve is dead, and he doesn't ever find Desiree, which, I don't know, given what he's about to do next, I feel like this is a you have to make sure you find everybody scenario. Like, you can't just be like, I'm sure it's fine that I didn't find that one person. It won't
close
come
enough,
up later. Yeah,
right.
Close enough. It's fine. And so
me killing a bunch of parents and leaving orphans behind. Hey, you can't be mad at me later, okay?
Yeah. I let you guys live.
So we're cool. So we're cool.
All right, now give me a fist bump before I get out of here.
So pinky promise, yeah.
He just gives up on looking for Desiree and goes to, I guess, the twins' tent. I guess that's where it is, where he has them tied up. And I have a lot of questions about the timeline of this state of events. Because, like, did he do that and then go put his makeup on? Or was, like, that the first thing he did? Like, the twins, there's two of them. Also, there's no way he got them both not to scream at the same time.
The twins are also, like, crying and being like, Dandy, no, please, Dandy, don't do it. After hearing, like, Dandy run around shooting everybody. Because, like, it's tense. You can hear a gunshot through a tent, like, clearly and easily. So they would be able to hear Dandy, like, going to different spots and firing 1, 2, 3 bullets. You know? Yeah. Like, this is... but I guess he's just like, well, they probably were fine with it.
Yeah, they probably don't mind, right? But, yeah, again, they don't show us because, like many things in this show, there's not really a reasonable way this would have happened. He somehow got them both tied up and bound and gagged. Again, there's no way he could have kept them both from screaming while putting a gag in one of their mouths by himself. So either they just didn't scream or, well, I don't know. They just didn't show it because it doesn't make sense. But either way, they're both tied up.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. And then he's like, all right, ladies. And then he unties them and he's like, come with me. And then there's going to be a big chunk of time where just the most insane sequence of events must have unfolded for where it ends up being. But, like,
yeah,
just assume that they're hanging out with Dandy and, like, it's cool and good for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah. Dandy just was like, he tied them up. They were so sure he was going to kill them that they start crying, like, please don't do this. And then he just unties them and he's like, no, it's cool. Relax. We're gonna leave. And yes, everyone else is dead. It's gonna be cool, though. Just be chill about it.
Yeah, those people
didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like they didn't.
Yeah, they weren't even real people, basically. That's what the cops said. Yeah. They said, like, just meep them or something. I don't know what that means.
But, they all suck so bad. It's fine. It's totally fine. And then,
so I guess that's how the twins feel, according to Dandy, because that's what happens. Yeah. They just leave with him, and he's just, like, with them now.
And just, like, they're chill about it. And, like, he doesn't, like, monitor their every move or anything. He's like, they're going to be cool. It's fine. They can have some alone time and, like, meander about the grounds. They definitely, like, wouldn't be doing anything nefarious or anything. I wonder if that will come up later. Either way, it is later now. It's nighttime. Which, actually, now that I'm saying it out loud, means the next sequence must be the next day, which means that he gives them a whole night to just...
Not months later.
Yeah.
Like, there could legitimately be weeks between this scene and the next scene, and it would probably make more sense.
It would make so much more
sense.
But
also less sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it makes sense for planning, but it makes less sense on, like, why the twins wouldn't have, like... They've shown ample ability to just leave. That's one thing the twins can do, is just walk away. That's, like, their only real talent.
Just leave, or, like, I don't know, do the plan they end up doing, but without help. Anyway, we'll get there. So it's now nighttime. The twins are gone, and it's nighttime, and Jimmy stumbles into the freak show. I guess he made it out of the weird shed in the swamp and made it back to the freak show. And he just starts eating bread like a raccoon in a dumpster would, with his new wooden lobster hands. and he's like, wow, it sure is quiet out here. Hello? And he's just kind of wandering around. He's like, hello, where is everybody? And then finally he gets into, like, the big tent, where Dandy has, I presume, I guess, moved all of the dead bodies after freeing the twins. Did the twins just, like, stand and watch as he drug every single dead body into this tent?
Also, like, Penny is, like, impaled on a microphone in the center of the stage, which, like,
I don't mean to be rude to Penny, but Penny can't be the centerpiece of nothing, you know? Yeah. Like, Penny didn't stand for shit in this show. Like, Penny's just like a lady who got too into debauchery and then crossed an electrician, I think. But yeah, she doesn't have like ideals. Like, she doesn't represent anything. If that, like, if Paul was on there, it at least would be like, okay, he maybe represents like the old ideals of the freak show showbiz, right? Like that kind of concept. But Penny just like got here. So
yeah, in fact, any of the original cast would have made more sense, or if he had like set them up to be doing like a fake performance or something.
If he did puppet guy stuff, yeah. If he like sewed two ladies together, put puppet strings on them, and then hung them up in the show so it looked like they were performing, yeah, that'd be crazy if he did that. Luckily, he's never done that before, ever.
Yeah. Instead, he just makes like a weird like pile leading away from the stage. Instead of like putting them in the audience or something, he just kind of like makes them lay in a long line leading away from the stage, which there are movies and shows like Hannibal, for example, which I don't know if Hannibal was airing at this time. I assume it was. Like The House that Jack Built, where like the centerpiece and like the shock value of the horror is seeing these like macabre kind of things that the antagonist has done with the bodies of the people they've killed. Like, that's kind of like the whole focal point. And I think that's what they were kind of trying to do here, but they did it in like the literal laziest way possible that it kind of just makes Dandy look like a dick.
He just made like a line. Like, it's just like a line is the thing. It's like at least the human centipede guy stitched him together and they were alive. You know, like
put in more
sure
effort.
That was a line, but that was like a way more fucked up line than this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing is like, it's the serial killer equivalent, the fictional serial killer equivalent of like when your kid makes you breakfast in bed, but it's just trash. Like, it's just trash food. It's like dry cereal and like half of a banana. And you're like, well, you tried, and I guess that's what counts.
But you shouldn't be phoning that in. You're supposed to be like psychotic. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to give a fuck. Like, close enough. Well, why did you even bother then?
Like, you know, the implication has to be that it's for Jimmy because he hates Jimmy. So it has to be for Jimmy. So you'd think that maybe he would make it try and be in a way that was like more relevant to Jimmy. Also, no offense to Dandy, I don't think Dandy is strong enough to move most of those bodies, especially Amazon Eve and Barbara. They're like bigger than him. So like, and he's like a little baby man who maybe does like a few like rubber band resistant pulls.
Which, like, hey, I'm like Johnny resistance bands over here. I'll talk about how they have a great tension over a large range of motion or whatever, but yeah, you ain't deadlifting one Barbara with that shit. No shot.
The fat suit they put on Barbara is like a my 600 pound life fat suit, so like she's easy supposed to be like 500 pounds based on the insane fat suit they put on her. Dandy's not moving that. He could barely move that one guy he killed that he cut into a bajillion pieces. So it has to be for Jimmy. And Jimmy, of course, is like, oh no, all my friends are dead. Ah, I'm so sad.
And they're in a line.
No! My one weakness.
If only my father was here. Damn it.
The Toledo Code didn't prepare me for this. And he's...
How is that possible, though?
I just want to say, like, Evan Peters can give good performances. In fact, like, this, though it was a bit over the top, the scene where he found out his mom was dead, like, he did a lot better job of, like, being upset than finding a weird pile of all of his friends dead. He's just kind of like, oh no, my friends, they're all in a pile. This sucks. Oh, no.
I care about this, unlike Maggie, who I couldn't be bothered to ask about, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'm still not over that, but anyway, yeah.
Neither am I.
Oh yeah, the fact that the woman he was in love with and was gonna run away with got killed, and they're like, do you want to know any details? And he's like, no.
I'm a busy man. I got a lot of recovering to do here, okay? okay.
Yeah, and so like he's like on the ground on his hands and knees, like kind of crying, and then we get like a jump scare of someone touching his shoulder. And it's Desiree, who she does a way better job of selling being upset, because she's like sobbing and she like they have like an embrace and they like sob. And I'm like, Desiree, were you just like sitting in here? You didn't like go to the police or anything? You just stayed here at the freak show?
Or just leave.
Yeah.
I'll be real. Just leave. Just go anywhere.
Yeah, right?
Like, if there was a serial, if I was part of a group of people and there was a serial killer running around the grounds and he killed everybody but me.
I'm going in the woods.
My first thing I'm doing is making a ghillie suit and disappearing into a riverbed for the next 6 weeks. Like, good luck, asshole.
I'm doing a Hunger Games and I'm painting myself like a really elaborate cake made of wood and laying on the riverbed. Yeah.
My ass is going to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the fucking Predator. I'm going to cover myself in cool mud. No amount of thermal vision is going to see me, Mr. Man. I'm covered in cool mud. I'm rolling around refreshing it 24/7. You ain't seeing shit.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing is, like, okay, like, I get it. They don't trust the police, and if she had called the police, he owns the police anyway. Danny owns the police anyway, but, like, leave. He like spent all that time dragging dead bodies to the main circus tent. Like, what, to what end? What if Jimmy hadn't come back? Would you just stayed there indefinitely, like forever? Like, what was the plan?
What if Dandy self-reported and was like, hey, if you find anyone there, put the crime on them?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I own you, so, like, whoever you find, that's who did it. Like, remember the thing we did last time with Jimmy? Another one of those, please. In fact, great news. Jimmy's there again, and he's legally still a fugitive, so you could just add that to his sheet.
Oh, yeah, remember how he's legally still a fugitive? I bet you're wondering whether or not that's going to get resolved by the end of the episode. We won't get to it today, but I have bad news. It won't.
I'll confess, I had actually forgotten that during this episode because it was brought up not at all.
You know what? I wouldn't hold it against you. Given the ending that he gets, it doesn't make sense given that he's on the lam for beating a guy who killed 9 women. Yeah.
I'm having a big, oh yeah, kind of moment internally. Yeah, that's,
So speaking of that, we are now at like, we're not even at, remember how I said the first 25 to 30 minutes is like a breakneck pace? We're at like minute 15 of this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still have the whole latter three quarters of the episode left.
And I will say, as crazy as that sounds, this is probably the right spot to split it because the ending, see, here's the thing, right? The freak show is going to happen. We're going to have the conclusion of that side. And then it's like a lot of Elsa for some goddamn reason. And the Elsa story is going to be pretty quick to wrap up because it's a lot of like slow scenes of a divorce.
Yeah.
Why?
A lot of I hate my freaking bitch wife. Like,
it is. Yeah. It's
because, again, the first half of this episode, the part that we've covered most of so far, is like, oh my God, so much stuff is happening. Oh my Jesus, everybody's dying. Jesus Christ, the
like
twins.
Like, 4/5 of the cast died. Yeah, like 80% of the cast dies in the first 10 goddamn minutes of this episode.
And then they're like, okay, we still have 35 minutes of TV left. What if we did like a Where Are They Now about the most boring character? And it wasn't even like a cool, Where Are They Now? It was just like,
and her
shitty
boring husband who's too boring for her.
Yeah. Would that be, and there's like gonna be a lot of like downtime of like her being shitty at being an actress. Like, it's gonna be a whole thing.
They're gonna forget what the circumstances of Elsa's films were in the past, where she you know how they forgot that she doesn't have legs? They also forgot that her legs got cut off. they also forget that part.
Literally
with a chainsaw where fucking where the head of Nazi science goes slowlier the other one.
Yeah.
I hate this show, man. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for next time. It's something else. They really... Whoo!
Whoo, get ready for the Elsa. Get ready for Elsa Mars is somehow the most successful woman on the planet. Next time.
Oh, oh. Bye.